of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is day two of our boys' camp, of course. And yesterday, we spoke specifically about the piety and the humility of President Gabriel Garcia Moreno. And he, as president of Ecuador, did so much more in his time as president, in his time as a later adult. That what we spoke of yesterday was especially his youth and his young adulthood and his conversion back to the faith. But as he became older and had more responsibilities and all that that came with it, he didn't start to wane in what he did, or didn't stay the same in his spiritual practices, but he kept increasing, he kept growing spiritually all the way until his last days, which is something that each and every one of us has to always keep in mind, that we never can be satisfied where we are at spiritually now. We always have to look to see how we can grow for the future, how we can become more holy, how we can become more closely united with Christ himself. Well, Garcia Moreno, he did that. And he started by looking at himself. It started by seeing where he himself can improve and grow and fortify himself. And one of the things that he did to make himself holy was he set up a good rule of life for himself. So what's a rule of life? The rule of life is like a schedule that he made out for himself, that these are the things that I wanted to do in my spiritual life each and every day or every week, whatever it may be, and I'm going to follow through with those things on my schedule. By making a schedule, we tend to be more likely to actually do what we want to do in that regard. Well, so Garcia Moreno, he made a schedule for himself, a rule of life, and in that schedule, he had many things that were going to help him. First and foremost, he started every morning with his morning prayers. He never missed his morning prayers, and he especially, knowing that he was president of Ecuador, and that pride can easily seep into somebody who has such a high position of power, he especially prayed every morning for the virtue of humility. And then he would then, after his morning prayers, go and assist at daily Mass. Every single day he would go to Mass. After leaving Mass on the way back to his house, if he was in the capital city, what he would do every morning was then go make a great act of charity. He'd go and visit the hospitals. He was most devoted to the sick, and so he'd go and pay the sick and infirm people a little visit to help strengthen their own courage against fighting against their illness, and to give them that boost and that realization that they're not alone. A special visit from the president. Imagine that, being in hospital and getting the president coming in to pay you a visit to make sure that you're doing okay and checking in on you. Well, that's what he did every morning. He would stop by the hospital. Then, later in the day, he would pray at least one rosary every single day. He made sure of it, that he was, every day, he was devoted to the Most Holy Rosary. He would also make sure that he had some pious reading for himself, especially the Imitation of Christ. That was his favorite spiritual reading book, and he kept it with him at all times. So every day, he made sure to read at least one chapter of the Imitation of Christ. And then, later, he would do 30 minutes of meditation. And every week, he would make sure that he went to confession. All of these things he did while being so extremely busy as the president. But he didn't just keep that piety to himself and that devotion to God to himself, but it necessarily goes outwards. And so he had a real love of souls, and he really had a great desire and a great care for the people of his own country, and not just in a temporal way, but in a truly spiritual way, that he wanted to see good come to them as much as possible, and to see to that. And so what did he do? Well, regularly he would go out to these farms and he'd visit the peasant people there, not just to say hello, not just to make a little visit with them, but he'd go for a very specific purpose, going and seeing the farmers and the simple people out in the fields. He would then make sure to spend time and pray the rosary with them so that they were being faithful to their prayers, or he'd teach them catechism and they would sing hymns to our Lord and to our Lady and to the saints. They would sing hymns together. And he also joined the confraternity of Our Lady there in the city of Quito. But when he joined that as a kind of a public group, everybody, you know, devoted to having special devotions to Our Lady that they're promising that they're going to fulfill every single day, that when he joined that, he insisted, because they wanted to make him, as because he was president, they wanted to give him some high-ranking position in the little organization to Our Lady. He insisted on not being of any position of rank whatsoever. In fact, he wanted to make sure that he was part of the group of working people, of the regular common people in the sodality, so that he was just one member of, amongst everybody else. And he also had a great devotion to charity and easing suffering. You know, in all his time as president, he never once kept his own salary. He had some money that came in. He made sure to pay his own, take care of his own needs. But he never once kept his own salary for himself. He always gave the entirety of it to the poor. In fact, he gave money to the poor, even if it was somebody that wasn't necessarily his friend or nice to him. In fact, his chief enemy of him as president of Ecuador, this man whose last name was Urbina, he was always fighting and trying to come back and take power from Garcia Moreno. He was always trying to take back over Ecuador. And he was a Freemason and a nasty man. And but because he was always either in exile or kind of waging battles against the state, his wife oftentimes was left at home, and she was, you know, very often in need of money. And Garcia Moreno held no grudges, always was so forgiving of even his greatest of enemies. And so he, every month, would send a little bit of money to Urbina's wife. He also built hospitals and gave the care of those hospitals to nuns, so that they would not only look after the well-being of the health of the people, but most especially their spiritual health. And he brought the Redemptorists in to preach missions, to preach sermons, to help inspire the people that were in the city. One time, even, he brought them in, and they had a procession with the cross, and he was the one that carried the big, heavy cross around the streets of the capital city of Ecuador, you know, being the one to lead the way in humility, bearing the weight of that heavy cross on his own shoulders. And he also wanted to look after the Indians. In Ecuador, there's a lot of jungle, there's a lot of rainforest there, and there's these natives that live out in the jungle, that they themselves, they were always pagan, and they always did these horrible things, like they would cut off people's heads and then they'd shrink them down till they'd be about this big, and they would, you know, do all these barbaric things to the people that they didn't like. Well, they needed to be converted, and so at one time the Jesuits were in Ecuador, and they had done great work in trying to convert these pagan Indians. And then the Freemasonic government took over, and they came into those camps. They traveled all the way. They hated religion so much, they traveled out into the jungle and shackled up these poor priests that were out there. They actually put them in chains and made them kneel by the riverside and said that they were taking these priests away from you. You can't have them anymore. These people are enemies of their secular, godless society that they wanted. And so they chained them up, and the Indians were there lined up weeping and protesting. They didn't want them to take the priests away from them, and they loved the faith so much. But no, the enemies of the church church took them away. Well, when Garcia Moreno became president, one of the first things he did was bring those priests back to go and preach and to teach and to convert the Indians, that they were so happy that he would do that for them. Lastly, he not only acted for himself and for others, but he acted in his official capacity as president as a good Catholic. He made sure that the Catholic faith was the official religion in Ecuador. And not only the official, but the only legal religion. Now, that's not to say that he arrested everybody that practiced a different faith. But what it did mean is that it was the only church that was officially allowed in the country. And if you wanted to vote in the elections, you had to be a Catholic in order to cast a vote. He also made sure that all secret societies that were enemies of the church, like the Masons, they were made illegal, and that if anybody was caught in that, they would be indeed arrested. During his time of presidency, Pius IX and the city of Rome itself, the Vatican, they all came under attack, and Pius IX kind of became a prisoner there, and all of Europe, which was supposed to be Catholic at that time for the most part, none of the leaders ever stood up to protest these evil people trying to take over the head of the church. And he was looking to all these kings, especially the king of Spain, because Ecuador was so closely united to Spain. And they, as Ecuador, were waiting for somebody to say something, somebody to speak out. And nobody did. So what did he do? He wrote himself. He said, if nobody else will do this, I'll write. And he wrote an official letter on behalf of the entire government of Ecuador protesting the evil takeover of the church and the imprisonment of the Pope. And he pledged himself and the entire country under the faithful service of the Holy See. And all of this was a great consolation to Pius IX, because that was a really hard time for him, and he was so consoled by the true devotion of this great man. And lastly, he consecrated his entire country to the Sacred Heart, putting it completely under the care and direction of our Lord. So, all of these great things that he did during his presidency, and there were so many more too. What do we learn from that? Well, we see in Garcia Moreno a true faithful service to the church and to souls. And that's something that every single one of us all can do. We can be devoted to the church. We can be devoted to the care of souls. It starts, of course, with our own. We can't help anybody else if we don't have a spirituality ourselves. So we have to make sure that we do the things that we need to do in order to make ourselves holy, to have our own daily prayers that we do, to come to the Mass as often as we can, to save our own souls first, because that's the most important duty of our life. But then we should look to start to have charity for others right after that. You know, the idea of going and visiting the sick, what a great thing to do. Think about it. If you were in the hospital, or you were in a nursing home, all by yourself, and nobody came to see you, that would be a really hard life. That would be a really hard thing to do and to bear up. But even to have just the occasional person come and visit them, to say some prayers with them, to give them that extra little bit of courage and strength to deal with their own illness, well, what a great act of charity that any of you can do. What about praying for people? That's an act of charity too. We all have people that need prayers, and so every day we should commit people to our own prayers to help them. And when we see somebody in need and we can help them in some sort of way, we should always look to do so. And thirdly, the help of the church. We too should be dedicated to the help of Holy Church. Now, we're not president, so we don't have the same influence. We can't start building churches all over the place, and we can't, consecrate a country necessarily officially to the Sacred Heart or whatever it may be. But we can do work for the church. We can do great things for the church. We can help volunteer your labor around here to do odd jobs that need to be done that allows the priest to do more of his work on the spiritual side. Or perhaps You have time to give in order to be able to help with devotions or serving. That's all helping the church in a great way. And you also, when you get a little older, maybe you'll have the opportunity to teach catechism, passing the important aspects and truths of our holy faith on to others. All of these things are things that we can, in the future, look forward to doing. All of these things are the things that Garcia Moreno himself did because he had a true love of the church. All of these things are things that are going to make us holy, to make us grow closer to God. And all of these things are going to help save not only our own souls, but many other souls as well. Each and every one of us has the ability to serve the church in our own ways. And to do so, again, is not an easy thing all the time. But to do so is what we would say is a manly virtue, because it's a hard thing to do, yet we do it anyways. It's the true way of being strong in the eyes of God and strong in our own resolve to do what we know to be right, which is to serve God above all else. May God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.